Good evening, and welcome to Dan Bain's Sleepy Time Mumbles, the podcast you can miss. I'm Dan Bain, and every episode I improvise a low-stakes podcast for you to fall asleep to. Before I begin this evening's episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to share some listener feedback. Title: No Sleep Meds Needed. Now, before we go any further, I need to say that I am not a doctor. I know. I'm shocked as well. I'm not a doctor, and it's not up to me to tell you if your sleep meds are needed or not. The following is an opinion from someone on the internet, and we all know that those should be trusted 100%. I'm lost in the layers of irony of this bit. I'm not quite sure. I've gone too deep. This is like Inception. I'm not sure if I'm... I'll read the review. No sleep meds needed. 5 golden stars. Started having trouble sleeping when I turned 40. Devastating. This podcast has been the best to help me get to sleep quickly and stay asleep. Great job. From MTA 1783 on Apple Podcasts. In the United States of America. Well, thank you very much, MTA 1783. I also was devastated when I turned 40. Devastatedly surprised by the surprise party that I had. I got surprised party, and I also at that party drank a lot, full stop, and I guess I went to sleep. I don't know if that was a great response to your heartfelt revelation that sleeping difficulty has been a part of your life as you enter into the middle-agedness of it. But, oh well. Thanks for writing in. I'm really pleased that hopefully you are now able to continue to, as you say, get to sleep quickly and stay asleep. so to you. I say, great job. If you'd like to join MTA 1783 in writing a little review for the show, in handing out a number of golden stars, I'd love it if you did that. It seems like for greatest effect, you could do that on Apple Podcasts. But wherever you get this, there's usually some sort of facility to do so. And everything helps. So, if you are so moved, thank you. But not now. They can wait. For now, put down your phone, turn off your screens, and close your eyes. Now it's time to be mumbled to sleep. Season 4, Episode 14, Pseudo-Medieval Sword Adventure 5. Pseudo-Medieval Sword Adventure, Book 1, The Hammer of Anvilston, The Raven's Keep Sequence, Catalyst Rising. Chapter 90. Pokarth Six Swords had misplaced a sword. It was the one that made him smart and contemplative. He still had his other five swords, the swords that defined his personality. For Pokarth was a blank, a mere simulacra of a man, empty, devoid of personality. All his personality was given to him by which of his swords he was holding at the time, and the loss of the thinking sword was really limiting. His ability to achieve anything other than violence. Fortunately, Pokarth found himself in the village of Tattlesphere. Tattlesphere was a small farming community out near the eastern wilds on the borders of the Tarlac Forest. In many ways, it was unremarkable. Fifty or so small thatched cottages, various small craft businesses, a tavern. But above the village, standing out like an iceberg on the frozen Carthian Sea, was the tower of the wizard Popek. Popek and Pokarth went back many years. They had adventured together when they were younger. And they had parted. Not on bad terms, but simply because their journeys had diverged. Pokarth had to go and keep chopping people. When you have 6 swords, it's hard to find employment that doesn't involve chopping. Popek, the wizard, had decided that he was more interested in reading books and researching and generally being academic than traipsing about in underground caverns and performing hair-raising heists on corrupt barons. But when Pokarth lost his sword, the one that enabled him to use his cleverness and actually think through situations rather than just doing chopping, he knew Popek would be the one to help him. Arriving in the village, Pokarth strode to the base of the tower and knocked on the rune-carved, heavily oaken doors. The doors creaked open, and there stood Popek in a wizard's hat. "Pokarth," he said, "I thought you might be coming. The stars told of it." Pokarth nodded. He didn't really want to get into a conversation because he was pretty sure he would say something stupid and then he might get laughed at. Hogarth hated to be laughed at. Hogarth followed Pope Peck up the stairs. They were a winding spiral staircase, as is befitting a wizard's tower. "How did you get down so quickly?" asked Hogarth. "I assume you were your study, which I also assume is on the top floor." "Yes," said Popek, "but I used magic to come downstairs." "Why don't we use magic to go back upstairs?" said Hogarth. Because although he was managing the climb very easily, the frail wizard was looking a bit sweaty and starting to puff as they passed the third floor. "The reason for that," puffed Popek, "is because I used my teleporting magic to come down and answer the door. See, I missed a delivery the other day, a very important delivery of bristle boar spines that I required for one of my magical experiments. See, the delivery boy will just knock on the door, and if you take too long to answer it, he will leave a note and take your delivery back to the depot, and then I have to go and get it, which defeats, in my mind, the purpose of ordering it to be delivered to my tower." Hogarth nodded. "That makes perfect sense. I'm glad we had this fun conversation." "Good," said Popek. "Welcome to my magitorium." They were on the top floor, and Popek's magitorium was before them. There was so many books, just old, dusty books and apparatus, alchemical apparatus, as well as astrological apparatus, telescopes and whatnot, as well as bubbling beakers of mysterious fluids. There was a crow on a perch, and the crow perch had another perch coming off it, and on that perch there was a blackbird, and then on the blackbird's perch there was another perch coming off that, and on that there was a sparrow. And on the sparrow's perch, there was another perch, and on that perch, there was a hummingbird. Then on the hummingbird perch, there was another perch, and on that perch, there was a bumblebee. And as they walked in, all of their heads turned to look at them. There was no glass in the large window because it was a door that went out to a balcony that looked over the village and the forest. Popek saw that Pokarth was looking at it. "From up here," he said, "I can see if the beast herds begin to muster. From up here, I see their smoke fires, and I hear their infernal braying. And should that occur, I'll know that they are coming." Pokarth nodded. This seemed very wise. "Now," said Popek, "let us see what we can do to find this sword." Pokarth gasped. Truly, Popek's magic was all the more powerful from their childhood days when, as mere callow youths, they would hunt giant rats, and Pokarth only had 3 swords. And also, Popek could only do like 2 spells, and neither of them were very good. Truly, he had been wisely spending his research time to know the deep secrets of Pokarth's mind. "I noticed," said Popek, "that you only have 5 of your swords. Your name is literally Pokarth 6 Swords. So it stands to reason that that, my friend, is why you are here." "Oh, wow," thought Pokarth stupidly, because he didn't have his smart sword. He didn't even use magic. He used deductive reasoning from my appearance. That's maybe even more impressive. "Let us begin the ritual," said Popek. "The ritual that will tell us where your sword is and what it is up to." "Very well, wizard," said Pokarth, not because he wanted to be rude, but because he had forgotten his friend's name. They cleared away some desks, and on the bare boards of the magitorium floor, they drew a big, spooky pentagram. Inside all the little crevices of it, Popek drew mystical runes, runes of power, runes of finding, runes of returning, runes of metal alliance, runes of seeking runes of control, runes of protection, runes of mysticism, runes of obscuring, runes of binding, runes of caterpillars, runes of clarity, runes of disguise, and finally, runes of skeletons. "These are the runes of skeletons," he said. "Oh," said Pokath, "I'm just looking for my sword. Why are there all of the other runes?" Made perfect sense. "Even runes of caterpillars. But why?" "I'm puzzled. Why have you put the rune of skeletons in your magic circle, in the key position?" "Ah," said Popek, "I hoped you would ask. The reason for that is in case your sword is in a skeleton." "What do you mean by that?" said Pokath unintelligently. "Well," said Popek, "what if you were fighting someone while holding my sword of intelligence? Sounds unlikely." Okay, but what if you'd been solving a puzzle and then been attacked? "Ah," said Pokath, "that is much more likely. I wouldn't have time to switch swords." "Exactly," said Popek very patiently. "So, imagine that happened, and then it got stuck in them, and then they ran away." "They ran away with my sword stuck in them?" said Pokath. "Maybe. And then they fell down a well with your sword still stuck in them. And then they turned into a skeleton, which is what happens when the meat comes off. You turn into a skeleton." "What?" said Pokath. He probably had known this at some point, but his diminished intelligence wasn't really helping him out in general biology matters. "Truly, you are a great wizard, and now I see entirely why you've put the skeleton rune onto the magic circle." Now it was time to burn expensive spell components. So he lit the fat tallow candles that were at each point of the pentagram, and walking around them, widdershins, he sprinkled things into each one. First, unicorn dust, the dust made from powdered unicorn hooves. Then, scales of a giant moth. Then a pinch of sand from the black sand beaches of Kabulata. Kabulata, black sand beaches. Then dried blood of a Tanglewood vampire. Then hair from the mane of a rabid lion. Then crystallized salt. Yep. Magical energies began to dance around the edges, flickering along the lines that had been carefully drawn on the floor. "Where is it?" whispered Pokarth. "Where is my sword?" Popek silenced him. At this point, his concentration needed to be so focused, lest he lose control of the wild magical energies that he was attempting to contain. In the air above the magic circle, a vision slowly swam into view. "Do you recognize this?" said Popek, his voice straining with effort. "I do," said Pokarth. "That's the bar I was at last night." A sign swam into vision. "What does it say?" said Pokarth. "I can't read it." "It says," said Popek in a hushed whisper, "it says lost property." That was Season 4, Episode 14, Pseudo-Medieval Sword Adventure 5. Sleepy Time Mumbles is produced by Noosed Octopus and is hosted by its creator, me, Dan Bain. As always, if you enjoyed the show, you can follow us on your social media of choice or leave a rating or review wherever and whenever it suits you. I'm sure that like a bottle with a message tossed into the sea, eventually it will reach me. Good night. Sleep tight.